Welcome to What's Next, Cornet Global's podcast that puts members on the microphone with thought-provoking, profession-shaping conversations and commentary.
Hi, this is Tim Venable of Cornet Global. Joining me today are Tom Arnold, energy efficiency veteran and the CEO of decarbonization firm Gridium, and Dr. Christopher Ting with a doctorate in climate adaptation with over two decades of experience in building sustainability into the built environment. This podcast is part of our ongoing series, The Green Footprint, Corporate Real Estate Insights, in which we discuss big challenges and big opportunities facing global corporate real estate professionals as they collectively address decarbonization and ESG requirements. I'm excited and intrigued by the title of today's podcast, which is Taylor Swift, AI, and Corporate Sustainability in the Face of Change. Wow. Now, our format today is basically a fireside chat, and Chris has a number of interesting questions for Tom. So with that, Chris, over to you.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate the time and excited about this topic. Tom, Taylor's resilience in COVID-19 workplace. You know, what you and I have talked a little bit about what kind of lessons we can draw from Taylor Swift's past actions and how the workplace has changed due to the pandemic.
It's a complete reinvention. And her career arc is, of course, a complete reinvention. Maybe just let me frame this and link together Taylor Swift, COVID, and facilities management, which is three things that you never thought you'd hear in a sentence together. You know, when she had to encounter this crucible of, you know, what am I going to do? Someone owns the catalog. Scooter Braun had it, and then it was sold to an investment firm. You know, it was a complete disruption. And other artists or musicians might have just sort of like, well, that's, you know, the big guy's got me. That's it. And she didn't do that. She sat there and re-recorded everything and propelled herself back into the top of the charts on music that she owned from the get-go. But it was a complete dislocation. And if I think about, you know, we're right at the four-year anniversary of COVID. If I think about what happened to our buildings in COVID, complete reinvention. And you know, if you're one of these teams that is reinventing themselves and what space means to the organization, then you're Taylor Swift. If you're one of the teams that says, well, I guess no one's going to come to this office ever again, then, well, you're like other artists put in the same position by Scooter Braun. And just to link it back to sustainability, Chris, I think the biggest lesson here is 4 years later, everyone knows from a sustainability perspective that empty offices still emitted 90% of the carbon that they did when they were full. And that's a disappointing result, isn't it? And that's where we think the massive opportunity is in terms of waking up to expense reduction and carbon reduction from facilities all around the world.
Well, you know, I want to just echo what you said, and just in terms of her ability to be resilient, right? Public scrutiny, personal attacks, even lawsuits, right? And if you look at the history of Taylor Swift, and why she was bullied in middle school. She was an outcast by her fears because she wanted to be a country singer in middle school. And especially you learn in her document in Miss Americana, I mean, it really dives into the struggles she went through as a singer songwriter and how she's really had to struggle through mental health, eating disorders, insecurities. You know, her mother has some illness, but she really got through all that and faced a lot of the challenges and controversies throughout her career, and really consistently demonstrated, and this is how sustainability gets at, her resilience, her ability to bounce back from the setbacks and maintain, you know, her artistic integrity while inspiring others to get to be more better themselves. So it's like really bring that back to real estate and corporate real estate teams is just, hey, especially during the pandemic, especially when I was working for a healthcare company as a provider at the time, we were trying things out, right? Some things worked, some things didn't work. It was a super challenge, you know, but we needed to treat patients safely. And the heroes, the doctors, nurses, EVS staff, and everything that supported the medical centers and medical clinics, that was, you know, we had to make it a good environment for them as well. So lots of trials and errors, similar to what Taylor Swift is, but we pushed through it as world, as corporations, as FDM teams, we pushed through it and we got to address and make things safe. And we didn't throw the towel, right? And so we basically changed the workplace to where it is right now. Like you said, there's companies that are empty, some companies are hybrid, or some places are fully in, right? There's, you know, a lot of tech firms, some people actually never even left, right? They were there every single time. But I'm wondering, curious in terms of that. So for you, in terms of resilience and just planning the workplace, where have you seen carbonization, sustainability? Has it taken a back seat, right, with some of your clients?
It's really surprising. I was meeting with our board of directors recently and just talking about, you know, what's going on and is ESG fading? Because we serve two main customer segments at Gridium. We help FM teams decarbonize, but we also help commercial real estate teams that are investment properties decarbonize. And that market is suffering because of COVID and because of high interest rates. And the common theme here is the ESG pressure has not let up at all. In fact, if anything, producing sustainable space is important to both of those teams, because it's the underlying workers that want to know, is this space sustainable? You know, are you doing everything you can for carbon emissions? Is this an Energy Star rated facility that I'm working in, as well as air quality and all kinds of other sustainability attributes of the building as well? So it's interesting. It's easy to get dislocated in something so disruptive as COVID, but just like Taylor, if you were sort of true to yourself and authentic and humble and didn't sort of were resilient, you know, you get to a place that is still as interested in sustainability as it was pre-pandemic. In fact, if anything, it's greater.
Well, I think you have some of the corporate teams that are super passionate about sustainability and changing that messaging in, right? And then that actually leads to my next question about leadership in facilities, maintenance, and customer service. I mean, so much of what facilities maintenance is about meeting the needs of your clients or the stakeholders. I mean, what can we learn from Taylor in terms of, you know, what she's done for empowerment, inclusivity, you know, adaptability, and you know, emotional intelligence?
When you look at her tour, and you know, you got to admire her as an artist. Certainly, I have two teenage daughters, so it's a lot of Taylor in our house. And she's a fun artist, but boy, do you have to admire her as a producer. I mean, she's sitting there doing things like writing, you know, 500 personal handwritten notes. She could lead from, and many other artists have done this before, right? Throughout history, she could lead, be an obnoxious leader with hard power, but she chooses to be, you know, a soft leader that people really want to work for. And, you know, part of the magic of these tours is that they're so well done. So much so that, you know, we had a large real estate customer that went to one, and she canceled the meeting. She's like, forget it, I'm going again. you know, and this is someone like, you know, late in her career running asset management and sustainability for a large investment firm. So there's something really special there. And, you know, what's the lesson for facilities management? Well, I have not yet met a facilities management team that has hard power over the organization. In fact, it's this very amorphous, you know, especially post-COVID, a job where you have multiple constituents. Sure, you might roll up to legal or CFO in a formal way, but the best facility management teams are collecting support for their initiatives, for their leadership and their vision across the organization, much like Taylor does. And I think the reason that she's so magnetic and occupies sort of all the conversational space around music is that people like her. I think that's why she's a concern even in politics, is that people like her, and she does that through very soft power, creating a workspace that people love and being authentic. I mean, to go back to the resilience items, there's a reason that you commented on her resilience, and that's because she was honest about her journey and her struggles, which develops empathy. And it's so tempting to sort of build walls around who we are at work. But of course, telling and showing people who we really are helps form more deep emotional relationships with people. And what people crave is authenticity, especially, not to transition to AI, but especially when you don't know whether you're talking to a bot or not. It's really important that you have a human connection on the other side of the line.
You know, I echo that, especially with the authenticity and, you know, the empowerment of the employees. I mean, writing a thank you note, you know, really kind of touched me. She's like, hey, she actually spent the time. And if I would have got that, I would frame it, right? I don't even know when I've gotten anything handwritten from a supervisor, or even a CEO that says, hey, good job, thank you. What I mean, that's like a lost art form.
It's a lost art.
Yeah. Right? But you know,
it's a lost art.
Something for Tom. Maybe you should do that for your employees come July 4th. I mean, just, you don't have to wait for Christmas or any of the holiday. You can do it now. It could be kind of office to say, thank you for your work. Appreciate it, whatever. But I think I want to also touch on her inclusivity, right? She accepts all people of low walks of life, LGBTQ plus, the rights and other social issues, right? She tries to bring them in. And as FM and corporate real estate leaders, we empowerment and trying to include everybody is something that at least we're trying to get through this throughout the years, and it's just becoming better. And the more collaborative and the more feedback we get to, the more diverse workforce that we have to really understand all the mechanisms. What, you know, what works for one might not work for other ones. We're a hybrid. Sometimes, you know, some people are in or something out, all different things. So the more we have these touch points, more the data points, and we include people, I think that's even better. And lastly is the emotional intelligence, right? I think what Taylor does in terms of, you know, it's her songs, or, you know, some of the ones that, you know, it's Snow on the Beach, Lavender Haze, you're your own kind. Like, it's, I know she kind of sometimes I miss that she's lonely and beautiful and her feelings, with that connection, the songs teaches relationships of, you know, management. And I feel that the more we get in more in touch with ourselves, like you're talking, you know, our emotion intelligence, and we expect some of them, the managers really to just reach out on a human level, because we've been through so much. I mean, March 20, it's like 4 years. We've been through so much. And Taylor, she really kind of shows that to where she is. Like you said, she's very authentic.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to ask you a question about Tom, about your staff. The last 4 years, have you seen that shift in leadership where people have to be more inclusive and, you know, this work-life balance? And we'll get to AI then, my next question, but in your staff and in your clients, have you seen that shift that says, you know, it's not just a good thing to have, but employees actually now demand that thing where it has to be part of the culture.
It has to be part of the culture. Honestly, it's always been part of our culture. We started as a remote back in 2012. So we've always been remote, and we're still a small company. We're 40 people. And there's a bunch of us in the Bay Area that get together. When we started the company, we said, okay, fine, we'll do remote, but we're going to be together every single quarter for a week. And so we have these Gradium camps that really solidify our culture and it's how we run the business. And we had to stop those during COVID. And with the first camp post-COVID that we came back to, people were like, oh my God, thank God. I can speak to someone. I can be in physical space with someone. And I think many of you probably experienced this when you brought people back on an RTO program. But for many people, okay, fine, they might not want to do 5 days a week, but the physical, emotional connection that you get in the space that we produce as facility management professionals is critical to human organizations. And part of that is the fidelity of the conversation and the ability to bridge across not just whatever topic you're actually working on right then and there. So I think it definitely changed. But it definitely changed, especially with younger workers. For many workers, like we, you know, we have a bunch of people in their 20s that most of their working career has been in a COVID world.
And my last question is the future. And this is where we're going to talk about AI, right?
Yeah.
And Taylor has kind of embraced, it's the shiny stuff, Instagram stuff, just does the what's tried and true. So where do you think real estate professionals can learn from? You know, maybe we shouldn't try that nice and shiny, the latest, greatest software, latest, greatest craze, but as FM and corporate real estate people, just do what's, you know, that's been proven, that has good data points.
It's really funny. We've been working with AI since we started. First hire was an applied mathematician. And typically what you see in real estate operations is the very deep use of the branch of AI, which is machine learning or ML. That's certainly what we use. And depending on the audience, I either tell them whether it's AI or ML, because a lot of people don't have an appreciation for it. A lot of that has been on the market for a very long time and is tried and true. And I would counsel facility management teams not to get caught up in the latest and greatest. you want something that's been on the market and been battle tested. It is true that the LLM innovations are clever, but for instance, there've been vertical LLMs all along the way. An example from multifamily real estate is Elise AI, where most of the multifamily operators have adopted a chatbot for scheduling tours of apartments. And most of those conversations are entirely automated at this point through Elise. And that is a very constrained LLM. And that came out of MIT and has been in wide use. And it's battle tested. I mean, all the big operators use it. So if you're looking for stuff on the market and it hasn't been around for 4 or 5 years, you should raise an eyebrow in terms of what's there. It doesn't mean that there's not exciting stuff going on. There is exciting stuff going on, but we have not seen a notion of artificial general intelligence that's going to replace all our jobs right away. I think if you have an exposure on customer support or call center, you should pay attention. And you know, recent news here that's it's worth just talking about a little bit is Klarna rolled out their AI assistant chatbot. And it handles 2/3 of all customer transactions and has replaced 700 agents. And that is something that has real ramifications. Like just imagine that you're producing space for 700 people and then suddenly you don't need it. That's a very big space planning item. And it, you know, the news was so big that it also dropped the stock prices of the major outsource call center operations. So Teleperformance is down 60%. Concentrix is down 40% just on that news. Wow. So that is massive disruptive change that is coming from the application of AI. Is it actually an AI dimension of facilities management, like a clever module for, I don't know, space planning or whatever other concern of the day is? No. Is it going to roll through in a disruptive way that hits facilities? Absolutely. I mean, look at something even as simple as EVs. You know, 10 years ago, you never got a question from an employee saying, hey, why can't I charge my Tesla at work? Now you get like dozens of dozens a week. And then you also have to get in the middle of, well, Susie's hogging the charger and Joey wants the charger after Susie is charged on it, right? So facilities is always this catch-all for like what happens after the disruption. And is there going to be disruption from AI? 100%. Do we know what it is? No.
Well, I also want to say that any kind of AI implementation is the tough part as well. There's, you know, I've been through a couple of these rollouts and it just takes forever just because not just, you know, getting the buy-in from leadership that, hey, this is going to improve efficiency, it's going to be cost neutral, but it's also just physically learning a system, the bugs. And when you finally implement it, you need a team, you need a technical side, you need a back end. It's not something that you just, oh yeah, you're just going to give to some bot and it'll just run by itself. There's design protocols, there's design documents. It's a project in and of itself.
Absolutely. And the base assumption from leadership will be do not adopt. Do not be first. And so that's again why if you're looking at anything and it's not been on the market for 4 or 5 years, you're going to have an uphill road because you know that's how long it takes to get case studies and your war wounds in terms of deployment.
Well, I know we talked about a lot and we tried to draw the experience of Taylor Swift. Do we have any, Tom, do you have any kind of final, you know, summaries on it? For me, it's just what I've learned from Taylor is, you know, she really embraced authenticity. She really radiates joy and she really listens to her, not just her staff, but also to, you know, to the needs of her fans. And I think a lot of FM and corporate real estate leaders can kind of learn from those kind of things, especially in a changing hybrid environment.
I think that's right. I think, she's just this magnetic personality as well. Difficult, of course, to draw conclusions from that. But if you just think about AI, Taylor absorbed all the air in the room. It's all that my teens could talk about. And AI is very similar in a corporate dimension. And of course, there's other musicians out there. There's other things to do. And for facilities management professionals that are sort of like wondering, oh God, what am I going to do with this AI? There is good AI out there, but try to cut through sort of the noise and the latest and greatest that's absorbing all the air in the room, and go find proven applications that you and your peers have rolled out that have demonstrable business results. That's what you're looking for. It's fun to get caught up in the whirlwind of a Taylor summer. What you're looking for is authenticity and things that help you move the ball forward.
Well, I appreciate your time, Tom. And again, this is something that this is changing, but I think we're going in the right direction.
Great. Excellent. Nice chatting with you, Chris.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay. Tom, Chris, it's been great having you on the What's Next podcast today. This has been a fascinating conversation, very helpful. So thank you very much for sharing these helpful insights with Cornet Global.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
This concludes this episode of What's Next. Want to record a podcast of your own? Have an idea or point of view you'd like to share? Visit cornetglobal.org to learn more.